It's time for Twit. Wow, what a panel we have today. Brian Brushwood joins Baratunde Thurston and Joshua Topolsky to talk about the latest tech news, including the new BioShock Infinite, an amazing game, plus a 3D helmet that actually works. It's all coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 399, recorded March 31st, 2013. Look at that codpiece. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Go to My PC from Citrix. Go to My PC connects you directly to your office Mac or PC from any other computer and from your iPad and iPhone, too. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today at gotomypc.com. Use the promo code TWIT. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIT4. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Twit. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous, unlimited backups for your computer files. Just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. This is going to be a wild one. It's already burning up. We got a great panel for you to talk about the week's tech news, starting with Brian Brushwood of NSFW Scam School. He's a magician. He's Mr. Magic, as far as I'm concerned, and he's here from Austin, Texas. You're going to do a special version of NSFW right after Twit today, right?
Tonight, because as we're talking right now, Justin Robert Young is driving from the airport. We're going to be live in studio tonight. So if you've never watched NSFW or if you haven't seen it in a few years, you should check it out because we're kind of funny from time to time.
And we have in studio with us Patrick Delahanty. You might know.
Is he there, dude? I'm so jealous.
Hired him. We hire all of Brian's rejects.
Walk off camera for a second. Hold on. Give me one second.
Because Chad Johnson is producer of the show, also former assistant.
Right.
Patrick Delahanty, who worked on BB
Live. Patrick Delahanty is one of the greatest people on planet Earth. Look what he showed up at my house with. He made Schwoodopoly, which is a completely hacked version of Monopoly, down to like all these cards. Like, look at this. Each of these cards says stuff like, what does that one say? I can't read it. Meet someone at a bar who hasn't seen Scam School, collect $20. Ta-da, with me all burnt up, says pay doctor's fee. Win the movie draft, collect $50 from each player. Like, he's amazing. And you guys got a
great
win.
I saw that on your Twitter feed. I didn't realize Patrick did that. I really want to hire him.
Dude, he's incredible. You won the person lottery.
I know, we're excited.
In fact, when I was talking to Lisa said, and I'm serious, she said, well, I'm afraid he'll be bored. I said, good, because when he gets bored, he does stuff like create the
like. So your challenge is to bore Patrick.
Yes.
So hey, let me introduce the rest of the team, because that's just Brian. And we got Baratunde in the house. It's so great to have
good
you. Baratunde Thurston,
very
author of How to Be Black. He's been touring the world, cannot stop.
Can't stop, won't
this
stop.
Is the world tour of How to Be Black. Gave up social media for the summer.
For the winter.
Winter,
for,
I mean.
My winter break.
Are you back on?
I'm back, but with more moderateness.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, moderation. That's the word.
I envy you. I'm going to try this.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And we want to talk about the Comedy Hackathon,
how
too.
Comedy Hack Day is coming up in 1 week. It's very exciting.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And you asked me for a prize, and I can give you a bottle of whiskey. How about that?
Yeah, that's great.
All right, we'll
that's
do that.
That's great. We'll talk more about that later. Thank
that's
you.
A good. Would that be enough if I like autographed one of these Glenn Fark glasses?
Yes, that would be a great prize.
All right, there
and
you go.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we'll get more
Stay
into
tuned.
It later. It's a teaser. It's professional.
Stay
show
tuned.
Business.
CultivatedWit.com. Also with us, he hasn't been on in a long time, and I'm really glad to get him back, Joshua Topolsky. We miss you, Joshua, and just so good to have you. Founder of The Verge, which has done such a good job. and formerly editor-in-chief at Engadget.
That's true.
Just
true.
Thrilled to have you back. And he does street surgery in his spare time.
And I do street tracheotomies.
All he needs is a Bic pen, a lighter, and 15 minutes, and you'll be breathing through your throat.
Well, the towel helps with the tracheotomies
because
you get a little messy.
You always got to have a towel.
Yeah. Hot, very hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know if we should waste our time with tech news with a panel like this. We should just talk about whatever the hell we want to.
Hang out. It'd be like a...
It is Easter Sunday. Thank you all for joining us on the one of the holiest days of the year. Big Facebook meme, which apparently is phony, which is that it was named after Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, the Babylonian Assyrian goddess of fertility.
Wait,
and
what
sex.
Was named after?
Easter, Ishtar.
Oh. Damn.
And then Molly McCready wrote a piece on The Beast saying, no, that's bogus.
Yeah. So you're saying misinformation spread rapidly through social media.
Shocking.
Interesting.
Doesn't seem like a bad sign, right? That doesn't feel like a bad sign.
Google decided not to sell it.
Easter's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and just today there's a new rumor about the name.
But where the name came from.
Actually, yeah,
that's good.
I don't know how long Easter's been around, really.
Well, in theory.
Not since year zero or 33 or whatever. Anyway, I don't want to get into that.
Somewhat close to that.
This week in religion.
Apparently, Google didn't want to either because the Google Doodle today is Cesar Chavez, not Easter. And, of course...
Not a bunny?
CNET says it ignites a furor.
Furor!
Now, do you think this is a little bit of making hay out of nothing? Because, when you look at the actual tweets, right, there's certainly surprise. And there's certain people like, wow, that's surprising, Google. Like, and especially, like Glenn Beck, the moment you mention his name, it's a, it's a lightning rod for whatever.
Right.
But they're all like,
He tweets about it, yeah.
And what he says is it's clearly surprise, not anger or annoyance I don't know.
Everybody everybody who was upset, according to CNET, was from Fox.
Yeah, so they went to the place of upsetness and then found upsetness
They're upset?
There.
When are they not upset?
Not predictable.
Google doesn't celebrate religious holidays of any denomination, as I remember.
Well, but they got to do some kind of Christmas thing, right?
Yeah, they do. They have like a holiday.
Thanksgiving.
Did they do like ice skating around a Christmas tree one year?
Let's put it this way. I was surprised that there wasn't Easter eggs in the O's of Google, and I don't know if they've done that before or not. I was surprised that they went with Cesar Chavez's birthday instead. So it's like, yes, I mean, people have a legitimate point to be surprised, but I don't think it's anything.
No, it's just they keep you guessing. You don't know where Google's going to come out on these issues that are very, very important, like what the doodle on their homepage is going to be. We must remain vigilant, I think, in these trying times.
And really, the conversation, the national conversation, the international conversation is driven by the doodle.
Exactly. Thank you, Joshua. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to really acknowledge that it's important.
And regardless of what they were really trying to say, the fact that we're talking about it right now, that's the good part.
That's the good part.
We can all cherish.
It's trending.
Yeah.
It's trending.
Yeah. Well, so was the fake name of Easter, so be careful.
Right.
It's the trends.
Right.
All right, I'm hanging out with Joshua Moore in New York.
Yeah.
Get out in New York. We should be hanging.
We should. We're going
to
do that.
Come to the office. Come
Public
by.
Vow.
We have new offices.
Before the show, I don't know what happened this week because I got BioShock Infinite and I haven't left my room, my bedroom. Before the show, Brian and I were talking about, and I don't know if this is a spoiler from Kotaku, the secret covers. There are apparently musical covers. BioShock Infinite takes place in 1912.
Okay.
Right.
But
I think as far as like disclaimers, we should say like if you want to go in pristine and virginal,
don't listen.
Maybe skip the next couple of
this
minutes.
This is a definite, Leo, this is a spoiler for sure.
Well, then I won't say anything. Just listen to the music carefully. How about that?
There is a moment of magic. For those of you who aren't going to play BioShock Infinite, there was a delightful moment of magic as I was scrounging around looking for coins or for, health or ammo. All of a sudden, I'm about to leave a room, and I notice something that's playing on the gramophone, and I walk back in, and that's what this is about on Kotaku. How about
Keep
that?
Listening. We won't play the video. We won't spoil it. It is a great game. Have you finished it, Brian?
Already, man. It was like it took me – I played it on hard mode, so it took me about 22, 24 hours of gameplay. And, in fact, it's one of the few games – that I immediately went back and played again from the beginning, and I went back and replayed the ending just to make sure I understood everything correctly.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna open myself up to being torn apart by saying it's the greatest narrative game ever, but I will say that it is my favorite narrative experience in all of gaming in my entire lifetime. Echoes of Stephen King's Dark Tower. It is big beyond time and space. It is mind blowing, literally jaw dropping at the ending. Loved it.
I will say something. While playing it, I had this. I've been having this repeated thought about this. You know, the conversation: can video games be art? You know, are they considered art? Can they be as compelling as a film? And this is one game where I feel like the kind of the suspension of disbelief and this thrill of experiencing a narrative is happening throughout the game. And it's kind of like I feel like I'm playing just to get to more of the story, whereas in a lot of games you feel like you're playing to beat it. This is like you're playing to experience this story, this big, epic, amazing story. It's very cool.
Agree 100%. Somebody asked in the chat room, is it better than the original? Yes. The original, I love BioShock because it was so different. But this, they take it to a new level. It is beautiful. It is, it's funny. I had exactly the same reaction, Joshua, which is, okay, this answers the question. Are video games art? Yes.
Yeah. There's a, I tweeted out a quote from a post this week. Killscreen Dailies become one of my favorite sites. And actually, I know the guy who created it, but they have a story up. BioShock Infinite creator Ken Levine talks Occupy Wall Street and how his game almost wasn't. That just came out last week
What does it have to do with Occupy Wall Street?
Well, you got to read the article to find out, Leo.
Don't you see there's a huge... I mean, in that game, there's and again, I don't want to spoil anything, but the strains of politics and sociopolitical issues that are happening are totally reflective of the America that we live in right now.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, well, I was just going to say, I just think it's amazing how strangely... how the commentary is so perfectly about like what we're going through as a nation right now, and yet it's so very much about something completely insane and not real.
Which is what art should do.
In fact, in many ways, and this is a stated aspect from Irrational Games early in the development. They said that just as BioShock Original took the idea of Ayn Rand's philosophy from Atlas Shrugged, and of course, because it's a video game, you have to have something go terribly wrong and kill people. But they wanted to take the ethics of the Tea Party and play with them in BioShock Infinite. And by putting it in the context of 1912, again, these are minor spoilers. The city that you go to that floats in the sky seceded from the Union at some point because they have essentially elevated patriotism to the level of a religion where you have the key, the scroll, and the gun. And you have, Thomas Jefferson, Washington,
Ben Franklin,
and
George
Ben
Washington.
Franklin as these icons that you pray to. And it's amazing. Like that start, and this is the first 15 minutes. I hope I'm not spoiling anything for anyone. But you walk in and you experience Columbia, and it's so sweet you almost want to cry. It's an Americana that never existed.
It's Disney's Main Street America.
Yeah. Yes, correct. Totally. And then there's one moment when all of a sudden it becomes instantly horrific.
Exactly.
Wow.
And again, I don't want to spoil it.
I will.
And by the way, Baratunde, it's about racism.
Well, I'll do another plug. I'm not getting paid by Killscreen Daily here, but Jamin Warren is the guy who runs the site. And he wrote a piece very recently about race, Obama, and gaming. And he had this quote that I tweeted out, excuse me, when the time comes for a child to ask, who am I? Games, like all great art forms, should have an answer. Wow. He was talking about representation in gaming and who the heroes are when you take the mask off.
Well, I'm going to be very curious your reaction is because while racism is a thread that runs through it, there are no black people in the game. Right. It's all a bunch of white guys.
No, maybe later.
All right.
Don't spoil it.
No, I don't know. I haven't gotten any black guys.
There are major characters that are not. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, I'll be looking forward to it. Thanks.
And, this is early days in gaming as art, and it doesn't, it's not, I mean, we're not talking David Lynch here. We're not talking high art yet. It's still popular art, but it's starting to reach into more thorny, interesting, difficult topics.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's. You're right that it's still somewhat in the popular realm, but I mean, compare. It's not National Treasure. It's smarter than that.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I guess, It's tackling real issues. I think it's asking big questions and also doing a brilliant job of making an exciting action game.
Wonderful game. I mean, yeah, as a game, it certainly succeeds.
It's a little smarter.
Yes. Well, and here's the progression that you see, right? In the early days of gaming, one of the first, so your goal is to create emotions, right? So the first thing you do is you tell stories. You use video games as a printed medium. And that's why you get your old, you know, your Transylvanias or your multi-user dungeons back from the 1970s and 80s. But then when you want to evoke emotions, the first thing you go for is fear, because that's easy to do. And that's when you have your Doom experience, where you turn around a corner and all of a sudden there's a monster there. And for the first time, you experience fear. And then you evolve through that, and you get to the point where you start to deal with difficult choices. And we've seen a lot of games in the last few years that have dealt with difficult choices. The Walking Dead last year, I think, was, for me, game of the year, because it was the first video game that ever made me cry. Like, I felt such an attachment to the characters and situations. Like, that to me was the holy grail. But I think it's great. In some ways, BioShock Infinite goes beyond that. Like, okay, now we can make you cry. We can make you afraid. We can make you elated. Now let's start having a discussion.
Yeah, let's make you think.
That's a great way to put it.
What was the game that came out? They previewed it last year at South by Southwest. I remember seeing someone give a TEDx talk. I can't remember her name, but she talked about the spectrum of emotions and feelings that games can evoke and how narrow most of the industry has been focused on aggression and fear and you know, through violence and warfare. And their game was this big canvas where you have this little creature and you start off in the middle of a desert and you're wandering through the
journey.
Journey is
such an amazing. You're probably thinking of Jane McGonigal. I don't know.
No, it wasn't Jane.
Because she talks a lot about gaming. Yeah. Journey is, there's no shooting.
Right.
So it answers the question, can you have a game without actually killing anybody?
Well, Journey is about the mechanics. Like, the people who make Journey did a fantastic job of understanding that what the reason most people play video games is for the experience of doing the thing, whatever it is, you know. Yep. And in this case, they make jumping and running a joy, and it's fun. And there's moments when you're able to jump farther and jump. And there's this one moment of Journey that I will remember forever until I die, where it's like you're sliding down this sand hill, and the camera pans sideways, and the sun is setting, and it's golden and beautiful, and it's something iconic. And beautiful. It's like a impressionistic painting of a moment from a character who never existed. And in that way, I think you know, games like Journey will do well. And then there's other ways to tell stories, like we're seeing with BioShock Infinite, and of course with the Walking Dead. There's more. I think we're, for the first time, and this is an exciting time, because gaming has gotten mature enough that we're starting to see the splintering. We're going to have to start describing what you can't just say it's a game. You got to say. Yeah. Well, is it a narrative game?
It's a story. Or is it, it's a world. Right. It's a, or, it's a or not contest.
Even, not only is it narrative, but what kind of narrative? You know, is it a drama? Is it a romance? Is it funny? I mean, because, you know, I think that with art, at least with film, you know, you have these sub-genres, right? Like, it's a film, but there's lots of different genres of film. And in games, it really is very much about... you got to shoot something or figure something out. You know, there's like, I feel like there's been this strata, right? There's the violent games where you have to shoot everybody. And then there's the games kind of like Journey, where it's more playful and it's almost cartoonish. And, you know, it's not quite as real, right? And now we're starting to see those two things come together, where you have all these different mechanics and all these different emotions and all this narrative stuff happening. But it also happens to be a game that feels realer, that feels more like a story that you can relate to. I do think it's odd, though, that you're still killing everybody in BioShock. I mean,
it's almost too bad. It really is too bad.
You're still shooting everybody you come in contact with for the most part.
And you're looking for the headshot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of takes
the motivation is totally...
Yeah, so we're getting
you're fighting for the right
part of it.
You're fighting for the right. But
to party.
Let me real quick give you guys a heads up for when you do finish the game. Yeah. There is, after the credits, there is a delightful, delightful moment that's reminiscent of the end scene in Inception. You remember the very last scene of Inception when the top is spinning and you're waiting to see whether it falls?
Yeah.
Stick around for after the credits. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Boy, that's what they say about good movies, too. So that's a good sign.
It's amazing.
He's a good pitch man for BioShock Infinite.
There's some debate about how much it costs. The New York Times estimated that the game might have cost as much as $100 million to make, plus $100 million to promote. Ken Levine said that's crazy on Twitter. Okay. But I bet you it's not far off. I bet you we're talking certainly a game that was in the realm of the cost of a major motion picture, $100 million or more.
Well, sure.
That'll live longer.
In a world where a Call of Duty game can make a bajillion dollars overnight. I mean, it's like you can do some crazy numbers when you're charging $60 a head for a video game. So it doesn't surprise me that they would be at that level.
Aren't video games more profitable than film? I mean, I think they're going to make more than they would make.
$20 billion last year, which is, of course, more than film. But remember, it's, you know, 10 times the price, or nowadays 6 times the price of a movie ticket.
And it lasts much longer. You know, it's not
six times
enjoyable.
Yeah, maybe. What do you, Brian is saying 20 hours, 30 hours. I would say I'm playing on hard level, too. I must be a better player than you because it's going to take me about 10, I think.
Well, you're only a third of the way in right now.
Right. So it took me 3 hours to get that far.
Right, I play everything on easy.
I'm a sucker for the story, and it's like I'm going around.
He's just checking out everything.
I'm checking out every little thing, and it's amazing how much I missed the first time.
I look around. I'm not just running through the game. I'm looking around.
See, I it's funny that you guys play on hard. I learned a lesson from a friend who I'm not going to name because I don't want to sell him out in the video game industry, who was like, you just want to – you know, if you really want to enjoy the game and you don't want to deal with having to learn how to play it really well, just play it on easy because if you just want to get through it and have the experience of playing it. So I made the mistake with Dead Space of playing it on medium or something. And for literally for 4 years, I stopped playing it because I could not get through one of the levels.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm never going to finish this. I picked it back up recently and did finish it. And it was extremely rewarding. But for me, like I have such limited time. I've got maybe like an hour or two at night where I can play a game.
You. Yeah.
And so I'll just put it on easy because I want. And by the way, for BioShock, the new one, it's particularly good because the story is so compelling. You just want it to keep going. You don't want to get stuck somewhere. So,
by default, I'm the same way. Like I got convinced that what you should always do is whatever the normal mode. That is the intended gaming experience. But in this case, Evan Lottie over at PC Gamer Magazine made a little video that he put on there saying here's a case for why you should go for hard. Wow. And he swayed me, so I went ahead and did that.
What is the case? What is the reason?
Well, it's funny that you should say that, Brian, because I started on the middle of the road because I agree with you. And I read that article, and I restarted the game on hard. He says you're going to see more of the game. This is, by the way, riding those rails. Don't show this because this is a little bit of a spoiler. So let's not show the whole thing. but riding those rails is there. He said his point is, and I guess I don't know. Not having played it on easy, that you will see more of the game.
See it how?
In all sorts of stakes. Like when you play through on normal and you die like four times in the first 4 hours, death feels rubbery and like you don't care. But it's like if you want to care about the experience playing on hard, if you're an experienced gamer, I think
I might point out it's not that hard either. I have not gotten stuck and I usually do get stuck. I'm not that good. So it's not that hard, even at hard.
The thing about death, we just did an article on a panel that was at GDC and the gist of it was basically we've diminished the danger of death to a point where it doesn't matter every game. Like you can die a million times, there's no consequence. Right. So what's the point of dying at all? You know, like there's no risk involved anymore. And actually BioShock is a game where I've only died a couple of times playing on easy. Maybe that's why. But I've been really surprised and like it took me out of the moment and it kind of places you somewhere you don't expect to be. And I hope I'm not spoiling this for
anybody. There's story in that, by the way. Keep playing because there's a reason why you get placed there.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else. When you jump off a building, you don't die. You immediately just get put right back. So they have both modes.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice. Yeah. No, where it's like they acknowledge the difference between like an oops versus like, oh no, you died, which I thought was interesting. When you fall off a building, it's like it just jumps you back.
No, you didn't mean to jump off that building.
Is there any suicide? Because they make there at some point again. I don't want to try not to spoil this. There is some explanation about the floating city, how it functions.
Right?
Is there anything in the game that would lead you to believe that that's actually a function of the floating city? You know, of the technology
they're
using.
Not that I know.
No. It's
to save your life.
Okay. Would have been cool though to incorporate that.
But in a way, that's an answer to that question. Why bother dying? And in fact, if you just fall off a building or even jump off, because I tried it.
Can I just point out how great it is that we're three guys playing this game who normally wouldn't think twice about just talking about it. But the story is so precious to all of us that we don't want to ruin it for anybody who might, even if you're not a gamer, just experience
like me.
It. Man.
I appreciate that, guys. For people who haven't played it, I represent them right now. I fight for the users.
You couldn't do much of a spoiler in, well, I guess you could in Half-Life or... Yeah, Left 4 Dead. I mean, what's the spoiler in Left 4 Dead?
No, Left 4 Dead has no real plot. That's just like kill till you get to the end of the level.
So the fact that there is intriguing. But enough said. I play the game if you get a chance. It's very interesting. And
I should say, really, I know you want to probably move on, but if you haven't played the original BioShock, which is another Wonderful. Game with an incredible narrative and also is a very exciting game, I think it's a lot more action heavy than this game. And less heavy on the narrative, but the story in that game, that took me a while to beat as well, because it's a long game. But when that's one of those really rewarding, like, wow, you know, it kind of a revelation as far as game storytelling goes, I think.
Oh, absolutely. So I
recommend it. If you're bored after playing this and you don't know what to do, you should go play the first one if you haven't. But if you haven't played the first one, why do you even,
you know,
you should get off the planet.
I think the PS3 version of Infinite comes with BioShock 1, which I think is great. Is an interesting choice. Yeah. The PS3 version, not the PC version.
Oh.
But the PS3 version. Because I just ordered the PS3 version so I could play in my living room. You know, interesting, in a related story, we're talking about the Ouya 3D virtual reality headset, which...
No, it's Oculus Rift.
I mean, not Ouya, Oculus Rift. Thank you very much.
No
Thank
problem.
God somebody's here from The Verge.
I know, right?
And we'll talk about the Ouya. Yeah. Ouya and Oculus, both Kickstarter projects, both funded. But are they anything exciting?
Used to be called the Booyah.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's changed. All right. Stop it. No spoilers.
2020. Wait, what? What's happening?
Have you touched the Oculus? Have you experienced
it? Stop.
Oh, I touched it.
Commercial.
Right. Okay, let's talk.
That's called a tease.
Right.
Right after this word from Citrix. Sorry, I drank some whiskey, and now I got the hiccup.
Drunken sponsor references. I just love Citrix.
I love Citrix.
Streaming.
God bless them. Where would we be without Citrix? At work. You know where we'd be? We'd be sitting at work.
That's right.
But with Citrix, you could be anywhere. You could be in the backyard enjoying the weather. Summer's coming. You could be traveling. Finding a time to get caught up at the office. You know, the worst thing is to go away on a vacation and come back with 1,000 messages. 1,000, that's a day's worth for many of you in your inbox. Wouldn't it be nice to clear that out before you get back? With Go to My PC from Citrix, you can securely access your office computer, Mac or PC, anywhere you are. I'm secure, even if you're like at the Hacker Cafe in Kathmandu. You could be, wide open access spot. All the monks up the river are looking at what you're... It doesn't matter, because you got Go to My PC. You're secure. You can even use...
This is an amazing movie you're pitching right now, Leo. I love this. I want to watch this film.
Indiana Jones...
It involves Kathmandu. So
would use Go to My PC if he had the chance to. By the way, works not just on your Mac or PC, but you can... I mean, your office computer is, of course, a Mac or PC. But when you're on the road, you could use a laptop, but you could also use a tablet. You could use your iPad or your smartphone. The weirdest thing in the world to be doing, you know, business work on your PC from your iPhone, but it totally works. It's totally cool. Be at work from anywhere with Go to My PC, but don't take my word for it. I want you to try it free for 30 days. Visit gotomypc.com. Click the try it. There it is. Try it free button. And the only thing I ask is if you'd use TWIT in the promo code there so that we get a little credit for that. That's it. 30 days free. gotomypc.com.
Leo, did I ever tell you about the first time I used Go to My PC?
You didn't.
I needed to. There was a reboot of the Gong Show, and they said we want a 3-minute video of your best magic BS to submit.
You mean
and
you I had was, a chance to be on the Gong Show?
The reboot with Dave Attell, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm in San Francisco. There's no way I could do this. And I remembered, like, I didn't want to pay for Go to My PC, but I remember you saying 30 days free.
Yeah.
I went and I used promo code TWIT, signed up for the
Smart
free
man.
30-day trial. And then I edited, I remotely controlled, because I knew I had a 5-minute reel, but they were very adamant. They had to be 3 minutes. So I remotely controlled my home PC to edit it down to 3, saved it, uploaded it to the FTP, and sent them a link to it. So it's like there's a bunch of people out there who don't think they're ever going to need it, but
did you rehearse this?
No,
they're just that good Joshua.
We actually had a go to meeting last night, and we planned the whole thing out. It's very clever. But what happened? You didn't get on the Gong Show?
Oh no! Who cares? Whatever. That was a billion years ago.
There's no Gong Show.
So which is going to be better, Ouya or Oculus?
Ouya's got a better name.
Oculus.
Now, I got to tell you, I have worn every goddamn virtual reality helmet since 1999, SIGGRAPH. they're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tell me why this somehow magical thing that you put on your head and you're in the world and you turn your head and the... Why is this better?
Who are you asking?
You. First of all, has anyone actually used it on the
Joshua? Panel? Joshua's used Google Glass. Joshua gets everything. I'm jealous. I used
the Oculus at CES for the first time, and it blew my mind. My brain went flying out of the back of my head.
That sounds violent.
Through a wall. Bad. And hit a person in the face.
Joshua, is that the amazing part is the field of vision. It's the fact that it goes all the way, it's the degrees all the way around you that are amazing.
Here's the two things that make it. The first thing is that the field of vision is massive. It's basically your entire field of vision. There's a little bit on the sides you can see, but once you're in, you kind of don't see that stuff at all. And the second thing is that the lag, that the tracking is very low latency. So when you move your head, it feels like you're moving your head. It doesn't feel like you're waiting for this thing to catch up with you. Like I'm watching my Skype window right now, and I'm waiting for my head to do what I think.
Yeah, it should feel like it's instant. It's direct drive.
It feels real time, and it's only getting better. They went with a lower resolution display for the first version because they wanted to focus on low latency and getting that field of vision big. And I got to say, I used a CES and it completely blew my mind. Like my jaw was on the floor. We had people in a room in our trailer and there was a line out the door because the Oculus guys came by and people were just lining up. And every time somebody would try it, their jaw was on the floor. I took it on late night. And I was like, after I got, you know, the day before I had been using it a little bit and then we went on the show and I was like, maybe I have blown this out of proportion. Maybe I'm crazy. And they brought it in the morning to set it up for late night. And I went in the afternoon to go on and, Gavin Purcell, the producer there, was sitting in the studio playing it, and literally his mouth was like agape, and he was just like in awe of the experience. I have to say, I don't want to overhype it, which I've already done.
But no.
My brain just left the back of my head and hit somebody in the face.
It's crap. I'm not worried.
It's a neutral opinion.
When I was a kid, when I was 12, I was such a nerd and I just thought virtual reality was going to happen. I was so sure we were going to be living in like our, it was going to be like Neuromancer.
Yeah, we were all lied to. It's fine.
You know, but yeah, we were all lied to. And this, when I put this thing on and used it, I was like, oh God, I'm going to check into this and I'm never checking out. Like, so it's good.
Like, sounds like Ready Player One.
It'll make you sick. Ready Player One is.
Yeah, well, so the field of view is so good that I have a friend of my best friend from college, roommate, is now like some VP at some business. He only has one eye. Like, so we used to, you know, joke when we'd play Doom or whatever. It's like, you know, oh, you can wear these glasses and it's kind of 3D. He's like, it's all 3D to me, whatever. And he used to make fun of us for the goggles. He was so impressed with what he saw from the tracking and the field of vision that even though he'll get no benefit from the stereoscopic vision, he ordered one for the full, what was it, like $1,500 for a dev kit or whatever?
$300 bucks for a dev kit.
Yeah, I've ordered one. I mean, I did the Kickstarter, and I'm just curious because I've seen so much hype about VR helmets for going back to Jaron Lanier for years, and every time I've tried one, it's like, I'm sorry.
Well, sorry, I'm just going to say, and then I'll stop cutting you off. But
you'll never stop.
John, that's true. That's right. John Carmack and Gabe at Valve. I mean, these are the guys.
It's pretty good people. Yeah.
I mean, they're
yeah.
saying we love this, we support it, we want to do something with it. I think that this has a real chance when people start creating software for it, and when they get this, you know, they're only. It's like I said, it's only going to get better. I really think this is it. I think this is the start of something pretty amazing. Well,
Here's the other thing that's exciting. Not only did they figure out that the field of vision matters, that latency matters, and that resolution is obviously, as you said, low now to get things started, but they're figuring out the right products to associate it with. For example, it's problematic, the fact that you can't physically run around in circles wearing a VR goggles without tying yourself in knots. So it's being tightly tied to titles where it makes sense to where you're locked in but have freedom to look all around. So for example, Hawken, I don't know if you played it with Hawken, but Hawken is a mech game, so it makes sense that your hands hands would be tied to the mouse and keyboard, but you would be able to look all around from inside the cockpit of this vehicle.
So it wouldn't be for BioShock Infinite.
I think it would, actually. I was just saying to my wife, Laura, I was playing it, and I was like, this would be insane in the Oculus.
Well, I'd love to go into that world, right? I'd love to live there.
Yeah. Does it work?
If it makes you feel like you're there, then I'm, you know what? Right. This is why, Joshua, like you, I dreamed of virtual reality. I couldn't wait. I thought, by the time I'm in the nursing home, I'll be able to lie in the bed. That's soon, by the way. I'll be able to lie in the bed with the thing on, and I can be walking around Paris, and then I'll be happy. And but then I just felt like the promise it failed us. So I'm thrilled if this is real.
It just took 20 years extra. That's the thing.
Well, as always, with everything, right? At least 20 years, right?
Back in the long ago era of roughly 1997, there used to be a gaming shop on Church Street in downtown Cambridge, Mass. And they had the platforms, and you put these massive goggles on, huge, and a big cable.
You look like something out of Alien, right?
Yeah, and that was terrible. And then a few years ago, I had a chance to do this TV show for the Science Channel, for Discovery Science. It was called The Future Of.
Yep.
And we went to Japan, where all things robots are a little too close for comfort. But I got to go into this dome of a sort of virtual reality environment. You could walk, had 360 degrees and vertical as well, really look all around. The resolution was really, really poor, but you got to see a little bit of where this is going. But this was it was a room. You physically walked in, like Professor X, you walked out into this plank and you had a rail and you stood at it. Everything I'm hearing from you guys says we're actually finally maybe being lied to a little bit less.
Because that was probably a $1 billion hardware platform.
I mean, I think we're on the verge, if you will, of something.
Did you just do that?
You did it.
Do you have an auto eject?
Are you saying this is my next virtual reality helmet?
This is my first.
Not a helmet. It's not a helmet.
It's an eyepiece. That wasn't no scam stuff.
You twit.
This is not how to be black, guys. This is not how to be black. This is
just so you guys just stand there with that. That's all. All right. So here we go. Here's a video of Jimmy Fallon putting whatever this thing is on.
I don't have to imagine. It feels like ski goggles.
You put that on your. So this is the Oculus Rift.
Oculus Rift.
The Oculus Rift. This started as a small.
What is going on? Okay. Whoa!
Get that adjusted.
Holy mackerel!
Okay, so look to your left. Look to your right. Look to your right. All right, now look behind you. Don't move your body, but move your head. Turn around.
This is ironic because there's no way you could demonstrate this on TV. You have to wear it.
All right. You want to look forward. So here's the thing. This started as a small project that a few guys were working on. They wanted to make $250,000.
This is one of those great moments where the wonder. I want you to take this sensibility as a host. He's so excited.
He's not really acting. Fallon really is excited.
He's never used it. He's actually freaking out. Go ahead. Walk up to those knights. Walk right up to that knight.
Yeah.
That guy in the middle. Walk right up to him. All right. Get right in his face. Now look down. Look at that cod piece.
All right, nice job, well done.
That was great. Okay, fine. I'll get a gaming thing and
look at that cod
face
piece.
Thing on my face.
Now it's cool though, but the fact that I told him to look down,
right?
You know that to think about playing in that way,
right?
Or editing documents in that way, that'd be really amazing. Looking down at your paragraphs,
I believe
tweeting in 3D.
Was difficult before was the fact that you could tilt your head to the side. You get genuine parallax of motion. I know we all have bad memories of the first round of VR. Right.
We've been scarred.
I know. Yeah. Sounds pretty dope.
All right.
I'd say I was one of the things I was doing. I'm just going to interrupt you. I was focused. I was just sitting in the room when I was using it in the whatever space I was in, just focusing my eyes on near and distant objects because of the stereoscopic. View, you can do that. You kind of can do that. And it's weird. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just afraid it's going to be like 3D TV where it's just like, okay, or 3D movies.
So it sounds like it's not.
It's better. This sounds so much better.
The level of interaction and control.
You guys got me excited.
It's not a novelty. It's not a gimmick. I think this is real. If it gets
better.
That's
the key.
It's another thing to ruin dinner with friends.
Assassin's Creed. There would be a great game, right? You're climbing, you're running, you're jumping, you're looking around.
It does make you sick a little bit, though.
Does it?
Oh, good. Oh, nausea.
Does it really?
Yeah, because you're sitting there and you're experiencing motion, but you're actually stationary.
Lawsuits.
So it does create like a little bit of a disconnect.
That's
in your
the brain. Carmack effect. John won't do anything that doesn't make you a little queasy.
Dramamine. You got to take Dramamine before you go in.
You have to take a drug before you play a game.
Well, no, but think about it on slightly hallucinogenic drugs. Like, just think about, like...
Well, then everything's amazing. Wait a minute.
Are there slightly hallucinogenic drugs?
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. Facebook on Ampton is a trip. Because you're just constantly like, what was that? Did that move?
In general,
is that an animated GIF?
Stay off drugs and stay in school. But if you were high and using the Oculus Rift...
hypothetically speaking.
If you were high on marijuana and using it, I bet it would be amazing. I can't tell you.
I bet it would be amazing.
I have to imagine.
I would be happy to read about that.
If you're on a ton of ecstasy using it, that would be... And you were at a virtual rave. Think about it.
Wasn't this the plot of Minority Report? Was like you get high and then go Facebooking to remember your dead son or whatever?
Can I get one for my penis?
Is that
and do we have another story?
It's time for a word.
Like we just overstayed our welcome in that segment. When Leo refers to his penis, you've stayed too long.
It's the Godwin principle for Leo.
It's like, don't we have a sponsor?
We're gonna. Quickly before we get to the ad, because I gotta make a buffer, otherwise they'll be never back. Ouya, which is not Oculus, is the Android gaming
the
thing.
Console.
Now that's out too. They've finally got that one. Another Kickstarter project.
Is it like $100?
$100 Android. Is that going to be real or is that...
It is real.
Well, I know it's real, but I mean, is it something I would want instead of a PlayStation or Xbox?
So I interviewed Julie Ehrman, the founder, and she said something really interesting at South by Southwest, actually. She said something really interesting, and I said, you're not going to do these hardcore gaming experiences because it's not that powerful. She's like, I think they actually see it as a companion. Like if you have a PS3 or you have like, this is something you get, it's $99, it's not expensive. And it's, you know, people can make games for it. Anybody who wants to make a game can make it. It's not locked down the way that
it's
the
open.
PlayStation works.
And everybody knows how to develop for Android, so it's not difficult. And actually, I think it's an interesting, instead of a second screen, it's second controller, kind of. It's like, this could be an enhancement of the gaming experience in addition to...
Well, I think what's interesting for me about it, as someone who doesn't play a ton of games anymore, but is excited about new entrants, having a platform and a marketplace and a store... You can publish to this.
Right.
You know, I still remember publishing to the App Store on Apple versus the Play Store on Android. You just do it in the latter, and people can download it, and you're done. It creates more noise. You need curators to help you figure out what's good and what's not. You might get flooded with a lot of nonsense, but the cost of distribution and discovery may be a bit lower.
Yeah. Openness is awesome.
Yeah, generally
letting anybody make a game. Like, it could be a 12-year-old kid. It could be a person who's just doing it as a hobby, or it could be like somebody who's a serious contender but can't pay $10,000 to get this thing put through all of the channels you need to go through to get it onto Xbox Live. I think that's a really powerful. You know, before I, actually, Chris Grant, the editor in chief of Polygon, who you should have on the show if you haven't had him on, he brought that up to me and we were talking about it, and he's like, that's what's really cool about this. Not that it's going to be super powerful. It's just that anybody can publish to it and it's going to open the door
living
room. Yeah. Which we haven't had.
Yeah.
It's really an American, it's the first true American console when you think
about it. I think of it more like the Google Doodle, you know?
I would point out though that Journey,
the Google Doodle of consoles.
Journey, which we were kind of raving about, is also an independent development. It's on the PlayStation 3, not on Ouya or something like it, but it's an independent and very innovative game. So I agree. I think we need both. I think we need platforms that you can do a $100 million game like BioShock Infinite, which just blows one's mind. But we should have a place like YouTube, which is a place for people to start getting their chops in video, a place for gaming developers to get their chops in games. And it's $99. Android's free. The development tools are simple and widely available.
So I like that analogy with the YouTube thing.
It's like YouTube.
Because what YouTube has done has given people a choice. Like, do you want to taste sugar or do you want to be sugar? And so it's allowed people to discover like, oh, I get more joy out of making someone laugh than laughing at something myself. And if we could do that in the gaming world, and if Ouya is the portal by which we're able to do that, that would be amazing. I do have a question for Joshua. I don't know if you happen to know. But at $99, is the Ouya profitable? Or because, of course, we're accustomed to seeing all these game consoles come out at first, you know, as loss leaders, so they can make money on the software later on.
Yeah, well, their goal on Kickstarter was $950,000. They made $8.6 million, and they've continued to sell them since then. And beyond that, I mean, they haven't talked about outside investment. But what I will say is the guts of it are essentially a smartphone with hardly any storage and no radios. Right. So those are readily available. They're basically off-the-shelf components. And in fact, Julie Ehrman said look, this is off the shelf stuff. This is not, we're not using some fancy custom GPUs here. So I think that the actual, you know, there a lot went into R&D. A lot is obviously going into production of these things. But when you've got like 8.6 million handy, plus, you know, maybe some outside investment once you get rolling, and you're using off the shelf components, I think it brings the costs way down. I don't know if they're profitable, but I don't think that they're, I don't think they're losing a ton of money doing what they're doing right now.
There are Android sticks that you plug in that are, what, $30? I don't think
that's
what
it is. And that's in essence what
it's what it is. So I bet you they're actually, they might even be quite profitable.
Yeah, they might have 8.5 million.
Just do another Kickstarter.
They don't have to make another penny. They probably made the profit already.
Possible.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Joshua's the only person on this panel, the only person I know who's worn Google Glass.
Oh, boy.
Dude, I watched that video of
All right. Hang on, because I watched the video. By the way, how's the dude counter going? We were developing a dude counter.
Oh, my God. Please tell me this isn't real.
Well, we couldn't decide. We were thinking of just a simple counter, but then we were thinking like a meter, the dude meter.
I'll tell you what. It should be like an over under.
Dudometer.
It should be double blinded. Like, I cannot see it. It's got to be something like at the end. We're like, and of course, this episode, the dude
brought to you by Dude. The Dude. All right. But a lot of people are now on the list to get glass. And there's also some question about how did Google pick those people that in the Twitter thing, if I had glass? Because some of them said some of the things they were going to do were a little weird. Actually, they've retracted one invitation.
Fed a monkey some whiskey, gave him some darts. It was awesome.
Actually, I think they shouldn't. Yeah, well,
anyway, keep that was my bad.
Our show today brought to you by a brand new sponsor. We want to welcome Shutterstock to This Week in Tech. 20 million, count them, high quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. If you've got a creative project, you're looking for the right image or video for your website, your publication, and advertisement, you must use these. You use stock video, stock photos, Berto? You must use this kind of stuff. Well, you got to get going here. This is good stuff. Shutterstock, professional photographers, professional artists, they review each image individually for quality before adding it to their library, but they add 10,000 images every single day. And there's a couple of ways you can do this on a budget. For instance, they have subscriptions. So you could say, I want to subscribe to Shutterstock, and that'll give you access to 25 images a day. I actually have the 50 a day subscription. Any image, any size, pay only one price. This is royalty-free, which means you pay for it once. You use it in everything. Sophisticated search tools mean you can search and drill down by subject, asset type, gender, emotion.
That's cool.
Pick an emotion.
You can search for, like, a sad little boy.
Yeah.
That's sad. Okay.
You definitely can.
Great.
Oh, you've done this.
He does it every day. Did you see how sad he looks like?
Actually, it's bloggers that would use this a lot, right?
Well, yeah, we actually... I haven't used it much directly myself, but when I was at the Onion,
stock
photography is essential to the way of life for that organization. So this
here, look, you wanted sad little boys? We got sad little boys in all shapes and sizes. We got these are the saddest little boys you've ever seen. Did you have something in mind? Actually, he looks more angry than sad.
They're more surly.
Yeah. This boy, this is a sad.
How specific do these emotions
get? Mommy and daddy are fighting.
Really, they get really specific. What
about? Okay,
can you have someone with a sense of ennui?
Can you put like sad cyborg or sad half robot?
With 20 million images, look, here's ennui. Oops. Oh, now they want me to sign up. I got to log in. Okay.
Bam.
You get one. This one's free. I don't have my code. I don't want to sign up in front of you. Actually, wait a minute. No, these are ennui. That's ennui.
Wow.
He's ennuiable. This guy, it's different kinds of ennui.
Inconsolable.
Amazing.
Inconsolable ennui, My life is so boring. If I only had an Oculus Rift.
For our first holiday gift guide, I think we did all Shutterstock photos of people getting gifts. And they've got some really weird people getting like surprise gifts. Do you like a surprise gift?
I'm having fun now. Okay, surprise.
This is reason enough to get Shutterstock, by the way, is just to look for.
Why not? Just go there and search. Although, if you want, we have a special deal. For you, I got the iPad app, which won a Webby Award for. So this is surprise gifts.
You got to get like with people. Yeah, you got to get some people.
It's a surprise gift.
People sneaking up.
Surprise, honey.
People sneaking up behind.
You know what's
people.
In that box?
Those are mostly like romance focused surprises.
Well,
right there.
I feel like surprise goes beyond.
I think he's going to be surprised tonight. Here's a child surprised with wonder.
That's good.
Wonder. That's a wonderful surprise.
Actually, that child opened the suitcase in Pulp Fiction. There's a. That's a horrifying vision.
That's like a fire hazard. Looking inside the box.
They have now also a spectrum tool that lets you sort images by color spectrum. So if you know you've got a color palette, you have to. They have shareable light boxes. You share images to a light box gallery, then you can have your team access them. So you can say, what about this? What about this? Mm-hmm. What about this? The iPad app is awesome. I don't have my iPad here, but I will show you next time. I'll show you the iPad app. And because they're global, they can give you global images. They are in Germany, China, Italy, Brazil, Belgium. That multilingual customer service, we know we have a lot. And this is so great. You know, one of the problems early days of podcasting is advertisers were local. They were national. We finally got an advertiser all over the world.
Yeah.
And no matter where you're watching our show, you will have a dedicated rep at Shutterstock who speaks your language, who will give you images that fit your cultural needs. Just fantastic. Sign up today for a free account. You don't need a credit card. Just begin to use Shutterstock. Use our offer code TWIT4, TWIT and the number 4. And when you decide to purchase, you'll get 30% off any package, 30% off any of the packages. All right? Shutterstock.com, offer code TWIT and the number 4 for the month of April. That's kind of fun. Yeah. I'm glad you were here, Joshua. I would never have thought of searching for. Give us one more term.
Tundi. I did that sad really boys. Idea. That led to a dark, dark
sad
place.
Sad boys, plural.
And then the surprise gift led to a soul in a box. So
yeah,
let's see.
So maybe you would just want to stop
what's
now
next?
While you're
let's
ahead.
Do, no, let's do one more. Let's
okay,
do one
more.
What are we thinking? Let's think. Come on, Leo. What's on the
robot?
Say again.
Angry robots.
Oh, that's gonna. Oh, that's come on. Give me something tough. Yeah. There are more angry robot images.
How about something.
Robots in debt. How about robots in debt?
Robots in debt might be a little too granular.
They might be like
angry robots.
Just a debt. What about debt? People frustrated by debt.
Is yeah, people frustrated by debt.
They're gonna have that. That's easy.
Like just college graduates.
Just people like with their face palming with a pile of bills.
I went to college and all I got was this lousy
second guessing major life decisions.
Look at. I am frustrated by debt. Debt is killing me. I don't know what to do.
This is like bank people are like,
dude, this is a whole game. You know, we should do a gambling game where it's like you wow. Somebody like it's like a Family Feud style thing where somebody proposes a and then you bet money on whether or not Shutterstock has a photo on it.
I want to use this. Amazing. I'm going to make a PowerPoint presentation just so I can use
this.
This
is good
image.
For a PowerPoint karaoke. You give somebody that slide.
Oh, that would
have
be fun.
Them explain.
So
what's
karaoke
up.
Is you have just a bunch of slides and then you have to do a speech.
So the best PowerPoint karaoke's I've seen or been a part of, someone puts together a story. You know, they put together 15 slides roughly.
Yeah.
You don't see any of them ahead of time. Your job is to go and present them. In as cogent and clear
this
and
is so much like
convincing
my
a way
usual
as possible.
Speeches.
Yeah. And then you leave the room. Yeah. And then you know, another person comes up and does
with
a same
different deck.
Same deck, ideally.
Oh, what fun.
Or they might switch it up one. But it's ideal to see them do the exact same deck because then you see where people's comedic and like improv instincts take them. It's good.
Yeah, we did that at Dragon Con. In fact, Patrick Delahanty put together a bunch of random slides. Nobody knew what the slides were, but we just took a random subject from the audience, and you had to give a presentation setting up each slide with that. It was freaking hilarious, dude. It was awesome.
It's like improv meets tech. It's this fun comedy tech
Patrick
business mashup.
I think for the next time we do a Shutterstock ad, we're going to have to get Patrick to do a deck, and we could do a little improv.
Yes! That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be fun? Hey, speaking of improv, tell me about this
Comedy
Hack
Day.
All
right. Yeah. So for those who don't know, I no longer work for The Onion. I left last summer and started this company called Cultivated Wit.
That's your new company.
That's the new company. Comedy, technology. We're essentially a comedic, creative digital agency and product shop. We make funny apps. We do funny fun experiences. And we advise people who want to punch up their marketing and make it be less terrible. By adding wit and creativity to it.
Love it.
So the Comedy Hack Day, take a hackathon, get developers overnight, over a weekend, and add comedic intent to the mix by adding comedians themselves and comic writers and also developers with that sensibility, and you'll come out with
wait a minute, there's software
hacks.
And comedy?
Yeah, at the same time.
That's
yeah,
so
at the
cool.
same damn time. So we did it first in New York last September. Shout Roulette won. This was an app sort of premised on a chat roulette model. It allows you to find people on the internet you disagreed with. I know for most of us, that's very difficult.
Wow.
So you imagine, and then you can yell at them in real time through video. And they performed it. The demo definitely stole the show. There was a Onion and like UCB improv guy who led the comedic part of the team. Some great developers, beautiful design. So they won best overall. So
here's a video of it. Shout an idiot about a thing.
It's shoutroulette.com is still up. So that gives you a flavor for the sort of things that come out. And then this week,
you're going to be doing it at Twitter in San Francisco.
Yeah, Twitter's hosting it Saturday and Sunday. Funny or Die is one of our partners.
Can you go as a spectator?
Yes, you can go virtually or in person.
So you're going to stream it?
Comedyhackday.org. We'll be streaming it. It's Sunday, almost exactly 1 week from this hour. Essentially 2:30 p.m. Pacific, Sunday, April 7th, comedyhackday.org.
That's awesome.
Register for a spot. We don't want to blow up the stream too much.
Yeah.
Because we're experimenting with that.
That's awesome.
And if you want to show up, just provision a ticket. We'll let you. You're going to see Twitter's headquarters too, which are actually pretty nice. Don't steal stuff.
Will they give you free food there?
We're going to be providing for participants free food, free beer, free whiskey.
There's Neil Dash. Was he one of the judges?
He was one of our judges.
Oh,
he was a great judge. We had Hillary Mason was one of our. We have Will Wright as a judge.
Oh, Will Wright is awesome. Yep. Of the Sims.
Yeah, Sims and Spore.
Spore.
It's getting serious.
Yeah, we have W. Kamau Bell, who's a Bay Area comic.
He's great.
And totally biased. We have Issa Rae of Angry Black Girl web comic series fame. Awkward Black Girl. And
Big difference.
Awkward Black Girl. Totally different show from what I said before.
She's no longer angry.
I was looking at someone yelling, and so angry.
I'm seeing the yelling. Shout Roulette is hysterical.
But the idea was, can you get?
But this is an actual product. It's not just somebody brainstorming it. They had to code it.
That's the beauty of putting it in a hackathon.
Like
you can brainstorm to your mind's content, but actually committing code to a database.
I have an app I've been wanting to make, which is definitely a funny app.
Oh, good. Maybe we can get someone to do it.
I should learn how to code and then fly to the West Coast.
Yeah. You have 6 days.
No problem.
If you're serious.
Just go to Code Academy. 6 days later, you're coding like a champ.
Yes.
How hard could it be?
Not very.
Some of the bugs I see in Java, I think they got monkeys coding that stuff. That's just anybody could do that. All right.
Yeah. So thanks, man.
ComedyHackDay.org if you want to know more.
The future of tech and comedy all at once.
I didn't hear what date that was.
April 6th and 7th. So the demos are April 7th, 1 week from today.
That's a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yeah. So
that's there in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah. If you're showing up physically to code, that's in San Francisco, design code, et cetera, starting Saturday morning. If you just want to see the projects and see the live demos, I'm emceeing it, see the judging, you can show up physically. At Twitter, register beforehand, or go to our live stream.
So was this kind of your idea of your business for Cultivated Wit?
So this specifically is the idea of one of my co-founders, Craig, Craig Cannon, who was with me on the book, also a former Onion dude. But this idea of bringing developers and comics together fits the premise of the business.
Very.
Which is like, okay, we want to sell services to other companies. We love to make our own products.
Right.
Can we just bring people together to make good things happen? This isn't about taking ownership of the apps or anything like that.
It's a little peanut butter and chocolate. You know, it's two great tastes.
Well, it's nerd on nerd, right?
Nerd you get, like, on nerd
the
violence.
Most awkward humans from two different spheres, combining them into nerd Voltron. And that's Comedy Hack Day.
Comedy, cultivatedwit.org.
Like funny
Comedy
Voltron.
Funny Voltron. Yeah.
Funny
like Voltron. If instead of fighting, if he was able to just make people laugh.
If he has just great bits.
Yeah, he was just
like amazing timing.
He'd have a sword. It was just a huge microphone.
I actually think that Joshua Topolsky is the embodiment of this.
No, he is. I'm actually getting a good feel for this. We should have you involved in our next New York one, dude.
I think so.
I would love to be involved. Great. I would do anything with you. Anything at all. Anything you want.
Okay,
you
know, so we're going to be doing a lot of crime, a lot of drugs.
It's fine.
Okay?
Crime and drugs. I thought it would be worse than that.
Just mildly hallucinogenic drugs.
You played Grand Theft Auto. You know what to do. So good. I couldn't help but notice, Joshua, you're wearing glasses. In fact, all of us are wearing glasses. All four of us are wearing glasses.
Because we're all so smart.
So when Google Glass
so broken.
Invited you in, did they put the glass on top of your glasses?
They forced me to the ground. Two people there. Two Googlers wearing brightly colored shirts forced me to the ground while another one got on top of me and forced the glasses onto my head.
Actually, I'm glad you're talking about this because I watched the video on The Verge of Joshua wearing the Google Glass. And there's one moment that to me appeared to be genuine magic. It's the moment when you put on the glasses and they say, is everything okay? or is everything set up right? And you say to them, you're like, yeah, yeah, it says okay glass. And there's a moment where you kind of freeze and tilt your head. And I guess the glasses heard you say okay glass and responded at that moment. Yeah. Like the fact that you in casual conversation said that and all of a sudden it got picked up. Like that was very, very exciting to someone like
that. That's how you, yeah, that's how you trigger the, that's how you get the glass to listen for a command, is that when you, you have to get them, you have to wake them up. So there's two ways to wake them up. You can touch the side of the glass, which is like a little touch panel, or you can tilt your head up like that. And when you do that, it wakes them up. And then you say, okay, glass, to engage a command like, okay, glass, Google, whatever, or, you know, navigate to, you can do all sorts of different, take a picture.
But what about all those times? I know we all must experience this at least 3,000 times a day. I say, okay, glass, in casual conversation.
Well, false positives.
Is that not an issue?
The nice thing is that you it has to be woken up. So it can't just do it on command. Like you have to at least be, you'll see it that it's on.
I just go to restaurants like, okay, glass now. Let's do this. Beverages.
Because you're thirsty.
Yes. That's how I satiate my thirst.
Every time I shout, like, Jesus, for crying out loud.
They should have made it for crying out loud.
Yeah. No.
Like, oh, snap. You can make it anything you want. Can you reprogram it to be like, sure, listen up, buddy?
No, you can't. But I said they needed to add a command, which they don't have, which is, okay, glass, get me out of here. which shows you the nearest exit.
Yes, like, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
But it might take it metaphorically, like, get me out of this, like, segment of my life. Things aren't going so well for me. And it recommends, like, courses.
I think it wants to get you out of a place bigger, like the planets. Like, yeah, you don't need a rocket ship.
You just go to Houston.
So, honestly, though, Joshua, because everybody's talking about this. There's a lot of hype around it. I feel almost like about this as I did about the VR helmets. Yeah. Is it so? You've convinced me Oculus Rift, good thing. Glass?
Okay. In fact, can I modify your question?
Modify.
Oculus Rift versus Google Glass. Go.
Oh, if you have to bet on one, dude, you're only getting even Oculus money on Rift one of them. Which one are you?
Okay, if I could augment my current world or go into another one, I'm going to take the go into another one option.
Yeah, we have similar lives.
That's a vote of no confidence.
My current world stinks, and it'll only get a little bit better if I augment it.
I'm with you on that.
But the new world could be amazing. I don't know. So here's the thing about Glass. It's a very cool idea, and I think actually there are a lot of good arguments for what they're trying to do with the product. Like, I think they made some compelling arguments for why it should exist. And I think the biggest one is, like, look, everybody's basically taking these things out of their pockets and staring at them all the time. And just to get little bits of information, it takes you completely out of the moment, takes you away from what you're doing. And there might be a better way to get that information without it being so totally controlling as far as your attention goes. And I think that's a really compelling argument. I also think it's kind of amazing to be able to just suddenly take a picture or suddenly take a video when something is happening. Like, my example is my dog does hilarious stuff all the time. And I, by the time I get my camera.
Oh, how unique. Phone, your dog, your
Leo, can you do something about this?
I gave him whiskey. I thought I gave him as much of a sedative as felt.
I think it's great that his dog alone does amazing things.
My dog is really talented. She does our taxes, and it's so.
Which explains why you want to leave this world now.
I don't know which is more scary, him doing street surgery or the dog doing taxes. Either way,
she messes them up. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of arguments for it. But the problem is they do look ultimately completely stupid on a person. I mean, like, they just look silly, right? And I spent a long time trying to find glasses that look right on my face. And they don't, they're making them so you can put lenses in them, but they still look like glass. I think this thing is going to be really meaningful when they partner with somebody like Warby Parker.
Which they're
like,
hey,
here's these cool chunky hipster glasses. Right. And if you want to spend an extra $500, you can get them with Google Glass notifications in them.
So here's where I'm going to disagree with you. Like, there is one situation in which I find myself constantly putting myself in serious mortal danger. And that's when I'm riding my bike. You know, I'll go on these 32-mile bike rides. And every time my butt buzzes, I pull out the phone. I ride one-handed. I look at the black screen.
You have children, sir.
That's stupid.
Exactly.
That is so irresponsible.
Why are you bringing your phone? What is wrong with you?
It's a total no-brainer. It's a total no-brainer. No, like, Google Glass would be perfect for that.
Yeah. No, that would be perfect for that, but while you're on your bike. But, like, when you get off your bike, you're going to put on glasses that don't make you look like an Android. You know, like, you're going to not want to wear those into a dinner.
Joshua, I've said this before, and it's the to me, it's the Segway effect. The Segway really sounded like a great idea until you saw people riding them.
I think the way the thinking on this needs to be not. It's like, look, you can't think about it like I'm like Google Glass is going to be a cool new thing that everybody wears. The way you have to think about it is Google Glass is the beta version of what will eventually be something or could eventually be something that everybody really wants and uses. But it has to get to a point. It's like, look at smartphones. OK, smartphones used to be bulky. You used to have to use a stylus with them. Right. And, you know, like I had a Trio. I mean, you've used the old smartphones, you know, Windows mobile devices. They were terrible. Only businessmen or people who really needed a smartphone used a smartphone. And now it's like it took the iPhone for us to all go, oh, wait a second. Right. These could be really cool and really useful, and we'll want to have them like with us all the time. Well, it's going to take a moment, like something that is cool.
I think that you guys nailed it when you compared it to the Segway. The problem with the Segway was not that it was a bad device. It was a fantastic device that when you asked, well, who would use this? They didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah.
And it's up to Google to tell a story. They have to construct a narrative. They have to say when it's appropriate and, more importantly, when it's not appropriate and how nobody is going to wear these when they go out to dinner. You know, I take issue
with your statement about the Segway that it was. I mean, I don't think the Segway was that cool of an idea. I mean, walking is not that hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
it solved a problem that didn't exist.
Well, yeah, exactly. It solved a problem that didn't exist, but we actually have this is solving a problem that I believe does exist in a pretty material way, which is like intense distraction because of devices.
I think is missing some of what the core distraction is, which is attention.
All it's doing is moving this distraction from your hand to your upper eyebrow.
You're able to lie a little better.
It moves the distraction from your pocket to the other people, the other party that you're talking with.
Like
socially, as long as you're talking to someone and you know there's a camera pointed at you, it affects you, and it's going to be a problem when you're sitting.
And it's not just about the camera though. It's like the idea that you can somewhat more secretly access information, pull up new bits of content and imagery, start recording or snapping, that's not going to solve the distraction issue. It may solve the image of distraction. We'll be able to lie a little better about actually paying attention. We say, but we're just playing some game.
All right, I want to move on. We've said enough. I wanted to ask Joshua, because he's the only guy I know who's actually worn them. Whether you agree or not, Joshua, I could feel a lukewarm response to this. And this was my thought, that it wasn't going to be something that we're all going to run out. Compare that to his Oculus Rift.
Yeah, no, the endorsement. And someone in the chat room keeps pushing Google Nose.
Please, it's their April Fools. Please don't. Yes, let's not talk about the bad April Fools.
I know. I hate April Fools. I'm thanking God it's going to be tomorrow on my day off.
It's the worst day on the internet.
It's the worst day on the internet.
Hate it.
You guys are terrible. I've said it over and over again. April Fool's is internet Christmas. It's where all our favorite businesses
are. Whoa, you believe in people way too much.
Christmas is a horrible holiday. If Christmas was no fun and everybody had a terrible time, that would be April Fool's.
This is maybe a New York versus Texas thing. I don't know.
I think it might be.
That's how it's going to be. I see.
April Fool's in Texas.
I'm in news, right? Like, I'm a news.
It's the worst, right? You can't tell what's real.
Like, literally somebody from Sony was like, hey, do you agree to an embargo? They sent me an email. Dude, would you agree to this embargo? I was like, sure, send it over. And it's an April Fool's joke. And it's like, you just wasted precious time and energy.
How about making your devices not so bad?
None of it's funny. It's never funny.
It's not funny. It's more like hit yourself in the head like, oh, crap. Kind of. Yeah, I mean, it's like it makes you feel bad. So let's not do it.
Except for when ThinkGeek comes up with joke items that become like bestsellers later.
Those are good. Like the Tauntaun Guts sleeping bag.
So is the price worth the collective sacrifice?
No, this whole planet must endure.
It's like to get a few tchotchkes from ThinkGeek.
The Iraq War. Do we get the oil?
Yeah.
Not really.
Or freedom?
I think it's more
freedom.
Like
we didn't get any more freedom for anybody.
I think it's more like when the Death Star destroyed Tatooine and a million voices cried out in horror.
Second of all, how are we talking about the Iraq War? Third of all,
because it started as an April Fool's joke, Brian. This is how badly April Fools can end.
You don't like an unnecessary invasion. Yeah. That's what April Fool's is like.
I'm sorry, Alderaan, I just destroyed the wrong planet. And you see, that's where April Fool's gets you. You destroy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, there's so much to talk about. Facebook has a phone, doesn't have a phone. Don't know. Yeah. We'll find out. If you guys don't know, I don't know. Bitcoin, $1 billion worth. Is that a lot? Could be. It's money? No, it's Bitcoin. Is it bits? I don't know. T-Mobile is done with the BS in wireless pricing, they say. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Amazon spends $1 billion on another social reading site.
By the way, I just want to find out, well, there's no way we're getting all these stories.
I know. And they're getting into the comedy business. You see they have a pilot?
I did, yep.
And Yahoo pays a 17-year-old $30 million for a program that doesn't really do anything.
So like most startups.
It's so much to talk about. I
don't
even
another
know.
Show.
I don't even know where to start. Yeah. Let's take a break and we're going to come back because we got to get Joshua out of here because guess what? It's Game of Thrones premiere night.
I got to get back.
I got to start painting my body
to the cave. I got to start sharpening things.
Are you a Lannister or a Stark?
I mean, there's
I'm
a
Drogo. I'm down with Khal Drogo, so I'll be
You're a master of dragons.
Dothraki.
Like a buddy of the master of dragons.
A buddy of the master of dragons. Yeah. That sounds like someone who's going to die very soon.
Good friend. Ooh. Yeah. I'm like, my buddy died. How did that happen?
I'm excited. I have friends who've seen it. They had a premiere. They didn't invite me last week in San Francisco. Did they do that in New York too?
They did. HBO? They had. I don't know if they did one in New York. I know they did one in Los Angeles. That was apparently amazing.
You
I
had to
there.
Be like on some list that I'm not on.
You got to get better at lists.
Got to get better at lists. Our show today brought to you by ShareFile, another fine Citrix product. Joshua.
Yes.
You want to? You want to take a walk now, or I don't want to get you angry.
I'm gonna have this. Drink of water. I've never used ShareFile.
Actually, ShareFile is really amazing. So we've all had this experience. You attach a file. You know, you want to share a spreadsheet or a presentation or, I don't know, a sales contract or something. And you attach it to email and you mail it. It either bounces back or it's just a mess. They didn't get it. You don't know if they got it. ShareFile is a better way of sharing files. You can still use email because it has an Outlook plugin, but it's not email. What you're sharing actually is a secure link. Size doesn't matter. You can send files of almost giant files of almost any size. You control not only who gets to see it, but you'll get an email when they check it. You can say for how long they can see it, for how many times they can download it. You have total control because your share file stuff is synced automatically with the cloud. You can check your share file anywhere from any device, smartphone, tablet, laptop. And that's nice too, because that means if you forget, as I often do, to send a file out, I use it for sharing, audio with radio stations on the radio show, and they call and say, we didn't get the ad you recorded. Oh, no, but I got it on my phone. I just press a button, and it's there. It's shared. I'll tell you what, if you're not using ShareFile yet, it's great. Look at all the industries, hundreds of industries. It's HIPAA compliant, so it's compliant with a lot of government regulations in a variety of industries. If you're not using ShareFile yet, I want you to sign up for my free trial. No credit card required. It's very easy. Nothing to lose. You know, go to ShareFile.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter TWIT, T-W-I-T. That's all you need. See, at the top of the page, there's like a microphone. I heard it on a podcast thing. That's the one you want. And then you enter the offer code TWIT. Thank you so much, ShareFile and Citrix, for sponsoring the show, even though Josh was on it.
Stop.
I'm just baiting you.
Stop making reference to my
Wait
problem.
A minute. There's two people where one was
All right,
before.
Hold on. I'm about to enable in-studio audio, so you're going to hear echo for a little bit when you hear yourself. But
is that a double box or is I don't Whoa, this is cool.
Who's the author?
Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
It takes a bit for Skype to figure it out. But, you know, we were talking about Google Glass, and, you know, one of the people who got accepted was this guy. I didn't know this until, like, last night.
Yeah. I got
Justin Robert Young, ladies and gentlemen. And what did you say? What was your tweet?
I believe the exact wording was that because I run scavenger hunts now and I travel over the country and sometimes the world. And so I would run scavenger hunts with Google Glass and travel the country and sometimes the world.
Well, and that brings up...
You just added Google Glass to the thing you do. You're a genius. I'm like, I just want to drink whiskey with Google Glass.
I'll host comedy shows, drink whiskey.
Go show up on Tech Podcast every once in a while.
Dude, that's about apparently what it took to get in on this thing. Because
and sometimes just making random ribald threats to Google and the product.
Yeah, that's
like, did you read this, Leo? About the people who just basically, were like, if I had glass, I'd throw it in your face. And then Google's like, okay, congratulations, you're in.
I think they thought they could win them over.
I'm thinking that maybe not as many people as they thought would applied. So everybody got in.
Great deal. Well, okay, yes. The privilege of spending $1,500 is an unusual one, to say the least. But specifically, if you look at this article, New York Magazine. Right, had an article that says Google appears to have selected all of their glass winners at random. But as you go through, there's a bunch of these terrible tweets that are followed up with, congratulations, you're in the program, and almost all of them are girls, which makes me wonder if maybe
ladies, who wants glass?
All right, I want you to go into the bathroom. You see that mirror? Look at it.
What's happening?
They're horrific.
That's the only way it would work. It's pointed out.
It's true.
It's pointed away from you.
Yeah, what is the goal there?
You got to look in the mirror.
She should have gotten one, though. Krista Bohan says, I would promise not to record,
take pictures of my poop, no matter what. She wins!
If I had glass. I want everyone to be able to sign that. To get Google Glass, you have to sign agreement binding.
No poop.
On pain of death.
Here's the weird thing. Did they even say at the beginning how many they were going to choose? Did they say a number? I don't remember. No. I should know this.
I don't think they did.
I think they're like, we're just going to pick people who we like. They didn't have to pick a ton of people at first. They could have said, here's our first 20 people. We'll be announcing more later. And it could have been 20 interesting people. They did. I don't know what kind of criteria they use, but let's just say that, they didn't use App Store style guidelines for getting.
My question is, do we know anyone who did not get an invitation? Like, were there people turned down?
Yeah, me. Well, I applied.
Most people.
You must feel really bad.
I said like 8,000 submitted.
Padre SJ got in. You got in.
I got it. Brian's magician friend, CJ Johnson
got in.
Irma Gerd got in.
The dog at the Twit Studio got in.
Did Jeff Jarvis get in?
They had a dog model.
Jeff, I think, did get in. Yes, he did.
Real or fake Jeff Jarvis?
Real Jeff Jarvis got in. Fake Jeff Jarvis, I don't know.
He might have gotten in, too.
Old John Smokey got in. Yeah.
Arkins Bradley got in.
The question is, it's $1,500. It's not like you got a free pair.
But here's the best part. I don't know if anyone's mentioned this yet. So Google did have a third party doing the acceptances on Twitter. And some of those people that we just showed from the New York Magazine story, the one that was like, I'm going to throw it in your face or I won't take pictures of my poop, their offers were rescinded.
Oh.
Yeah. So they no longer have the first right to spend $1,500 on Google Glass.
Just kidding, because it turns out once we read your tweet, it turns out it wasn't that good.
Yeah. Like, it turns out you're not good for Google Glass.
Neil Patrick Harris, Newt Gingrich.
That's good.
Adam Savage.
I'd like to see all three of those guys in a room wearing Google Glass.
Yeah. Soulja Boy. Yes. Add him to the list.
Great choice. Perfect
pick. Choice.
I'm looking forward to it. I wonder if they'll have a special channel on YouTube for all publicly published Glass videos.
When these come out.
Or Hangouts or whatever.
Can we have a twit where you guys all come back and you wear your glass?
Yeah, I'll steal someone's glass and I'll come back.
Oh, you didn't get one?
I didn't get one. I didn't submit either, so that might have something to do with it.
Brian didn't get one.
Well, I think it's discrimination.
Leo, I think you can do Hangouts using glass.
If
you got a bunch of people in glass doing a Hangout together.
Did Fallon get one?
You can only see other people. You can only see the people that they're looking at, right?
Right.
That's weird.
Room together, looking at each other.
Yeah, it's like what they showed in the commercial was like you're skydiving.
Yeah, yeah.
And you start a Hangout to let people watch your face fall from the sky.
Or you're handling a snake and your kids can see it from your perspective. Okay,
the bite. And then your kids see you get poisoned.
They see you die.
Yeah.
Which is great. Thanks, Google.
No, they don't see you die. They see what it looks like as you die. What you're seeing as you die.
No, they see. It's like on video game. They see your field of view go sideways.
I think for children it would be scarring if they watched from their father's perspective as he died.
God.
That'd be upsetting or
I
not.
I don't want to see that.
Better have kids.
I'm going to say yes, Joshua. That's what would be upsetting.
Safe bet.
Okay, so here's my question is, what's the over-under on people who were offered invites who actually
Out what's the conversion?
Like, you think 50%,
80%? Yeah, tweet is $0. Google Glass is $1,500.
Yeah. So what's the question?
The over-under. If we're going to do an over-under in percentages and the
Who's going to buy this?
I'm not a gambler.
Going over 30% or under. 30% of the people who got
accepted. Yeah, fewer than that, I think. 5%.
20%.
This could be low.
And then of those who go through, how many actual clear funds?
$1,500.
It's quite expensive.
That's a laptop.
It's a lot of bicycles.
You're forgetting the friend factor. Because like the moment I found out that Justin, and this is not even a lie, not an exaggeration. The moment I found out Justin was in, the first thing I thought was like, hey, bro, if you're not going to do it, I'll give you $1,500. You know,
like, well, that's the other thing is you probably should buy it because you could sell it on eBay for $1,500.
You sell value.
Yeah.
Right.
No, $15,000.
I wonder if they're going to.
You think? How much will it go for on eBay?
I don't know. I mean, if they're accepting the poop woman, it seems like they've devalued the product a little bit here, you know? Like, you need to, if you really want to make it special, you only give it to Soulja Boy and Newt Gingrich, and then everybody's like, man, I got to get one.
Yeah, you do what the way MySpace sees it. They devalue it
a little bit. I wonder how Soulja Boy and Newt are on the phone. What if hey, Soulja Boy, did you get one? Yeah, I got one. Did you get one, Newt? Yeah, I got one. But did you see that poop lady got one, too?
What if they take pictures of their poop? Then
I love
Soulja Boy. You gonna take pictures of your poop? Yes, I am.
Exactly.
I didn't say I wouldn't.
World. Now a poop lady is.
That is not the title of the show.
Congratulations on Chris.
No, I'm vetoing in advance.
I feel like she's being unfairly maligned. She was the will not take pictures.
No, she's the hero of this whole fiasco.
But I think the point is no one asked her if she would.
But what I like about that, Joshua, if I may respectfully cut you off, is that she anticipates a lot of poop imagery coming from Google Glass.
It's the terms of service.
And she is already getting out in front of this thing.
Yeah.
Right? And she is preventing bad things from happening.
She's not the poop lady. She's the not poop lady.
She's a futurist, man. She's our leader. She's a prophet.
I think maybe you're giving her a little more credit.
I feel like you're not giving her enough credit.
I don't want to overstate this.
Let's agree to Mr. Hype Man on the face mirror glasses VR thing. I'm gonna go.
Are you getting hostile?
I'm not getting hostile. Hostile is
whiskey. Look at you. Look at how angry you get with a little bit of whiskey.
I'm not. I'm very calm.
All right, T-Mobile. You were excited about that.
T-Mobile, I am. And in terms of, I don't know how much time we have left for actual stories.
We got one minute to Game of Thrones.
This idea of their press release that T-Mobile put out was a little annoying, but the idea that they are trying to be more accessible, cut through the BS, the marketing BS, the actual BS of some of our cell phone, like they could be. That hope that we've been
I'm rooting for.
We don't have real competition. And if it's not them, I don't know who it is that has spectrum that can really do something.
I will say this. This is cool. Here's the thing. T-Mobile, they're basically saying, here's the thing. If you look at their plans, you buy a phone on their service and you do whatever your regular thing is that you normally do, it's still almost as expensive as the other companies. They've always been a little bit cheaper. Yep. They're still a little bit cheaper, but it's not like super cheap. The interesting thing is the idea that if you're buying a phone, right? Like I've got a phone or I have an iPhone and AT&T and I'm sick of AT&T. You can go to T-Mobile with your phone, get service. You hate it. You're like, all right, I'm out of here. There's nothing stopping you from doing that.
No
contracts.
You're
not going to pay them back any money.
Okay,
no contracts.
And the word,
what was that word that we came up with earlier today, Josh? I believe it was freedom.
Freedom. The word that we invented here on the podcast.
Do you really think anything's different? This is marketing hype. And it's like,
think different.
It's marketing hype that I love, but it's still just like, this is what you do when you're in fourth place.
That's why competition is good. That's why we were glad. Are we not glad now the government stopped the AT&T T-Mobile merger? This is why we wanted them to stop that.
Ryan, can you go to Verizon with whatever phone you want and say, give me service, and if I don't like it in 2 months, I'm out of here, and they won't charge you anything for that?
That's real freedom, Brian.
That's freedom. Welcome to America.
That's what freedom looks like.
Friend.
Thank you. Welcome to our great land.
Freedom. Take that.
I don't know what's going on, and I don't know what's going on where you are right now, but we're living in a free place.
But I would say, one, the clarity of what you get for the money you give is higher with what they're proposing, and the contract thing is a real thing. So, Brian, if you could specifically respond to back up your claims of this all being marketing spin with respect to getting out of a non-existent contract. How is that not real value?
Yes, and obviously getting out of the contract is good, but this is nothing new. This is what Ting built their whole service platform on. We've talked about, and full disclosure, Ting is the sponsor of NSFW show.
It's an MVNO that does exactly the same thing with the Sprint network. Now. Yeah, well, if you listen to Twit ever,
Ryan, I don't want to call you out. That just seemed like a plug.
No, others have done it.
Everybody.
You've heard of Ting, but what about Tang and Walla Walla Bing Bang? Those are where freedom is really happening.
I'll be honest with you. That plug, Brian, makes me want to run out of here in my Nike shoes.
Go ahead. Get out of here. Go ahead, because Game of Thrones is on in an hour, and apparently he's got
to
prepare.
I got to get back to the
body paint. We're gonna let you go.
I'm gonna do one more ad. Don't have to talk about the comedy pilot. You do on Amazon.
Leo, before we wrap, let me.
We're
be
not
clear.
Rapping.
I'm not against.
No, Joshua's leaving.
I thought you were rapping.
I'm not.
I want to stay until this thing is over.
Without Joshua, there is no twit.
Lost control of this.
Was that the one who got that contract?
Leo, listen. I decided I'm in till the end.
You're in. All right. Well,
till the end of whatever. Unless it goes for more than.
Pay the iron price.
If it goes for more than 10 or 15 minutes.
No, we're almost done.
Okay, good. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Together.
Together. You and
me. It's a family. Yeah. Even Brian.
Even Brian.
Especially Brian.
You know what today is? World Backup Day. Did you know that?
I do use a new backup service. I'm actually quite happy with it.
Don't tell us about it if it's not Carbonite.
And that's what the opposite of freedom, ladies and gentlemen.
I think we're going to have to go to a listener-supported model. I'm just thinking it's all over for the advertising.
Now go ahead. Do your Carbonite thing.
I'm getting a little hot. I'm getting some flop sweats here.
No one needed to know that.
How great. He's sweaty from when he thinks about how amazing Carbonite is. Amazing.
That's it. I'm sweaty when I'm thinking about all that data that there's millions of people out there who do not back up. You know that.
Oh, definitely.
There's millions of people who think they've got a backup. Yeah. I asked my dad, do you back up? He said, yeah, every once in a while I put my USB key in there, drag some stuff to it. I said, Dad, that's not a backup. No. First of all, you got to remember to do it, right? Which you're not going to do. In fact, inevitably, your hard drive is going to fail the longest possible amount of time between the time you did that last and now. That also is sitting right next to the computer. What if really there's a disaster, a fire, somebody comes and steals your stuff? You need to have offsite automatic continuous backup. I think you'd agree with me
on
that.
I do very strongly agree. I've suffered a catastrophic data loss before. I don't want to do that again.
How did you overcome that?
I cried a lot.
Yeah.
I blogged about it, got the rage and self-blame out of my system.
You went through all the stages. You went through denial and acceptance.
I added a few. Bacon.
Bacon is always great. Stage.
Definitely helped.
Drinking.
Yeah, psychologically. But it didn't help the future data.
You know, Francis Ford Coppola, when he was in Argentina a couple of years ago, they stole his computer and they stole his backups.
Who's they?
Some bad guys.
Okay.
Argentinians. Whoa. Did you say who's that to Francis Ford Coppola?
No. Who's they?
He's just,
we don't know. Bad guys.
But Coppola
said, I lost 20 years of scripts.
Yeah.
They're gone because that was my backup and my original.
So we all lost.
But
luckily, it turns out those scripts were actually pretty bad. So it worked out pretty well.
Another
Godfather 4 is what we
Yeah, I was I was excited about Peggy Sue Got Married too. But, you know, okay. So, one not from the heart. He was going to do that. Was going to be good.
Yeah.
But anyway, the bottom line is, if you back up with Carbonite, it's automatic. It's continuous. It's in the cloud, so you can see it. By the way, it's a cloud storage. You should consider this.
Yeah.
You can log on with your iPhone or your iPad or your Android device, and there's your stuff anytime. And here's the best part. Don't tell me the other one. But how much are you paying for the other one?
I'm paying $70 a year.
$59 a year, and if you use the offer code TWIT. 2 free months, 14 months for $59.
I've got one that's it's $49.
Here. Shut up. Go away.
No, it's not a real service. It's just a sign up page. to mess with you.
Peggy Sue Got Divorced. That was going to be the sequel, and I'm sorry that we missed that one.
Wow. Thanks to no Carbonite.
If Carbonite had
been there, we'd have Peggy Sue Got Divorced.
Peggy Sue Got Divorced. Actually, we should really, maybe he shouldn't have backed up. So try it today. It's free for the first 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card, just the offer code TWIT. If you decide to buy afterwards, you get 2 free months.
Yeah, people should do the backup thing.
That we all agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all agree
absolutely.
On that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carbonite.
Thank you, Carbonite.
TWIT possible.
Yes. It's World Backup Day.
Yeah, that's a good day to have.
Yeah,
I didn't
Easter.
Know
I don't. It's coinciding with
that. Should have been Google's doodle.
It's a bad
doodle.
Day for World Backup Day.
Is Cesar Chavez big into backups?
You know why they do it? The day before April Fool's Day is World Backup Day. Why do you think?
If you're not participating in this broadcast right now, you can't hear the sound of all of Leo's sponsors pulling out.
I feel like Rush Limbaugh right now.
Are you
high?
Backup day today because this way your data can return. you know,
you
like,
date it
like Jesus. Is it the resurrection?
Oh no, yes. Stop! No. This is why we don't let Justin Robert Young do ads. You stop! Stop right now.
Yeah, that definitely was not a proof.
I don't know why. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Why do you go there? You're like, it's like you've got Tourette's, offensive Tourette's. It's like, what can I say that would be the most offensive thing right
now? Leo, this is my first time ever meeting Justin, but I do think there's only one member of this panel who referred to his penis today.
Okay, you're right. No, I'll grant you that. Wait a minute. Is it time to drink from the green zippy cup?
Whoa, you got a green sippy cup in there. I got a green sippy cup.
What's amazing is when they can key out that green and put rainbows on it. Yes. You have a magic sippy cup. That's amazing.
That or not.
Didn't you guys bring your green sippy cups?
I did not today bring my
Somebody's
green.
Somebody's got to fill you in on Twitch tradition.
Light, man. I don't know check bags.
Holy cow.
Mm. Do I need one?
Goodreads.
Like
Goodreads. So didn't Amazon buy Shelfari not so long ago, like a couple years ago? And now they have Goodreads. Yeah. They own the entire social reading spectrum. I'm not happy
Except
with
when
that.
There's a whole internet out there, too.
The rumor is they paid, according to BusyWeek, $1 billion for Goodreads, even though they have Shelfari. That's a lot.
The rumor is not true. It's
not true? You want to debunk?
Trueable.
I can't personally say for sure that they didn't, but there's a lot of evidence that they might not have.
Oh, good.
Let's put it that way.
There are 202 million active accounts.
Yeah.
That's a 202 lot.
202 million nerds.
Yeah. $100 a user, that would be about, you know. I don't know what that is. I can't do math, but it's a lot.
That'd be 200 million.
No, that's a dollar a user.
No, that'd be 200. I don't know.
He said he's a writer, right?
You're as bad as I am. Yeah. And you're doing surgery on the street? What is wrong with you?
Bad surgery.
Street surgery.
A lot of corpses. Mostly medical research.
It's mostly showmanship. The whole, you know, it's 90% showmanship and 10% like actually stabbing somebody with something. Yeah.
What is Amazon doing with the comedy pilot? Are they following in Netflix footsteps? Netflix, of course, brought Arrested Development back. They Amazon brought Game of House of Cards back, which is wonderful.
House of Cards is good. It's not a top 5% show for me, but it's a good show. It's a good show.
No spoilers.
Thanks. I'm not the person to do that does that, but I appreciate your mouth.
So Amazon Studios, they did Zombieland. I didn't know this, but they're going to do a comedy pilot called Betas.
Yep, it's about, looks like a set
this
in the valley.
This is something that we talked a lot on Framerate about. The fact that, you know, Amazon following the footsteps of Netflix is investing a lot of money in originals, which is good news. Like, more competition is better. Whether or not you're an Amazon Prime fan or not, the fact that another player is deciding to bypass the traditional television medium is nothing.
There's the libertarian I love. Thank you, Brian.
Freedom. Let me throw an idea out to you really quickly, Leo and gang, if I may.
Are we a gang now?
You know, we're a gang.
All right, good.
We're a freedom loving gang.
Freedom loving, green cup.
More like a militia, really. But anyhow, you know, look, a few years ago, AMC just showed old movies, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then they were like, hey, let's make a show. And they made some amazing television shows. I see that, like, as we bring down the barrier of what looks like television, like, I turn on my Xbox and watch TV, right? Like, I don't make a distinction between Netflix and Hulu and my cable box very much at this point. And so...
But to be honest, are you one of those people who says, I don't watch TV, even though you watch TV?
No, I'm like, I watch TV as much as possible.
Okay, me too. Because I love TV.
Extremely relaxing and entertaining.
Exactly.
But so the thing is, when that comes down, like, when there's no difference for the viewer between... Yeah. Where they're getting it from, why shouldn't Netflix, why shouldn't Amazon, why shouldn't Hulu be making their own stuff?
I'm not as sanguine about this as being, as you are, Brian, as this being a great development. I see this as purely economic. They look at who's making the money and what is the future of offering streaming content as Netflix is doing versus being an HBO. And they want to be an HBO. That's all. They say this is where you make the money.
And that's good.
Be an owner.
I support this.
Better to be an owner.
Very much.
Yeah. Also,
you don't
also
want to be in a world where content is king, you don't want to be the pipe.
And the idea that you'd have to go through so many legal hurdles to acquire content rights.
Yeah.
To have a
they're killing the movie industry is killing Netflix.
It's really hard.
I mean, Hollywood uses the rights as leverage. The cable companies use rights as leverage. Everybody's trying to use the access to the content as leverage. If Netflix suddenly has its own content, they don't have to worry about the leverage, right?
This is good. This is good for comedy.
This is also
good for freedom.
It's great for television in general because all these companies that are right now, studios that are making television shows, aren't going to go away even if television as we know it right now is going to go away. Right now, their relationship is having a cost per subscriber model with cable companies. And there's no reason why that model can't continue to shift further and further to a direct to consumer relationship.
Right.
So right now, from a person who wants to make television, you now have more places to go. And companies like Amazon and Netflix, because they want to establish themselves, are outpacing budget wise established and entrenched people, even the ones that do it right, like HBO. You know, Netflix outbid HBO, which is an important distinction to make. It's not like they just went to Netflix because they think it was going to be a better thing or they were the only people who wanted to make it. They were the ones who wanted to pay them way more than HBO did. And I think Amazon's going the same route, which really lifts all tides for people who are fans of good television and not necessarily just common denominator television, which is currently what is dominating.
That's I agree. And also, maybe this would mean the end of bad reality shows. Like, maybe we'll be able to just go find the stuff we want.
That's a proud American tradition. And if you support freedom, you support the freedom to make crap.
Actually, I think bad reality. It's interesting because there's this gulf now. Almost every basic cable channel is running bad reality, making bad reality shows. Let them. I don't know who's watching that. Obviously, somebody is, although I heard American Idol got the worst ratings ever in history this week. But somebody's obviously watching Honey Boo Boo.
People are going to start to figure out reality is terrible. I mean, look around you. It's not good out there.
This guy's real down on life.
I mean, okay, that's not really fair to say.
I think we got to put him on a psychiatric watch.
Reality is a gamble, but it's not necessarily terrible. Remember that the Mythbusters won its Emmy in reality category. I mean, it's a gamble, and you don't know if it's going to pay off. If you're going to have a Honey Boo Boo, then yes, you know, throw $300,000 at something, and now you have a $30 million empire. That's great.
Honey Boo Boo is good. Buy lottery tickets.
You can win.
You're saying Honey Boo Boo is on the plus, like the positives.
That's a winner.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Justin and Brian. Are you in one of those weird houses where the perspective distorts so it looks like one of you is smaller than the other one, but you're actually in the same plane?
I'm not sure what you mean.
I don't understand. I feel like Justin's not a real
person.
There's
something very creepy about this shot.
It's not a good shot. It's a weird shot. Here's something that is going
to
happen.
Too much reality.
So we have TV has succeeded in part, I think, and I don't have data. This is just me making things up that sound reasonable because it's simple. And when we start diversifying the different outlets that all these shows can come through, Netflix over here, Amazon over there, Hulu over here, iTunes only in certain cases, plus traditional pay cable, premium cable, over-the-air broadcast, there will be a mess made of trying to find the market for some of these things. And how does the person who just hears about a show from their coworker, from their friend, from someone in their family know, oh, I need this kind of box or this type of subscription, that may end up being a bit of a mess down the line. I don't think we're there yet, but it's a mess. We make an assumption
because we're in the media elite or whatever that is actually not true, which is that these shows that we love, Game of Thrones and Mad Men and stuff, are actually gaining audience. The truth is far more people watch Honey Boo Boo. In fact, 7 million people watched American Idol. That's more than watch Mad Men. But that's more than watch a lot of these shows.
But National Treasure was a hit. It's a hit movie.
Right. But what is really to be celebrated is that a show with a much smaller audience than traditional network television can be made and can be made profitably. And that's what's celebrated. And so the truth is that's why we have so much diversity now, and that's a good thing. And I think people like me and Joshua, who are actually brilliant intellectuals, can admit to liking TV again.
I think part of it is when you kind of democratize this and look, it is a mess. You're right. It's a mess right now. But when you democratize the production of this stuff and the distribution of this stuff, what you find is, first off, it's way cheaper and easier to make really high quality stuff now than it used to be. It's way cheaper and easier to distribute that high quality stuff. When you democratize that, what you find is you can build very passionate, smaller followings that can make things profitable and make things viable. You don't have to convince every person in America that they've got to watch the show. And I think as HBO demonstrates, they found small groups that love shows and they're willing to pay for it. And so their business is profitable.
But the other thing, Joshua, I think
you're on the right track, Joshua, but I think you're looking in the wrong place. If you want to see the place where fleet-footed, agile, cheap television, compelling content is made, it's going to be in YouTube. And that's the reason that you're seeing Google just throw millions of dollars at stuff like the Create Space down in LA.
We were just talking about the fact that was thrown down the hole. Yeah. None of those channels made their money back.
That's right. And actually, one of our sister sites, SB Nation, is one of the channels, and they're doing a different deal now. It's a much smaller deal. I think they threw a lot of money at stuff and they didn't know exactly what they're doing. I actually think your point is right, but it's not just about YouTube. It's about creators on the internet. It's about people who are like us, for instance. We make, I like to think, pretty high quality video content. We make it at a, you know, budget compared to, you know, it's a tiny budget compared to what most people would spend on it. And we've a huge growing audience who loves that stuff. And I think that we wouldn't be able to do that if it weren't for the internet existing as a distribution method and the cost of creating that stuff coming way, way down thanks to new cameras and new editing technology that's made it way easy. I think that, what's that?
No, you're about to hit your ultimate point. Please do that.
No, I didn't have it. My ultimate point is just that it's not about YouTube or some other particular channel. Channels are over. That's the thing. The idea is the content can live on the internet. You can go get it when you need to get it, where you need to get it. That's the whole point of House of Cards. I mean, yes, Netflix is making it and distributing it on Netflix, but the idea that you can make a show, here's 13 at 12 episodes, go get it. We've already done it. We paid for it. It's on there for you to watch. Like, that's the thing that has happened that's a big deal. YouTube is a big part of it. But it's not just YouTube. It's everywhere. It's all over the internet. People are doing... I mean, YouTube's a distribution method, right? But it's not... So what, you know, Google is not the creator of the content. They're looking for people who will create the content for them. It's about the creator.
I promised we'd let you guys go. The problem is this panel is too freaking good. This is, and there's too much... All right, one... Really? Okay, quickly.
I got to say here.
Quick, just one more depressing view from you on life. And then we just got to do this all again
because you guys have so much good stuff to say. It's great. It's awesome.
So I want to challenge a little bit the idea that channels don't matter at all, because what I think is also absolutely true, along with general more freedom being generally good, more shows being created, lots terrible, lots of bad, sloppy stories out there, bad shooting, bad audio, but... getting attention to the good thing is possibly harder because not everyone's looking in the same place to find it. So marketing that stuff is a great challenge. Finding your audience, saying vaguely, good people make good things and other people find them, doesn't actually solve the problem of how people actually find the shows that they're interested in.
No, I agree. We were just looking at a great video on our show This Week in YouTube, which precedes this. A really well done, what was that, rap? It was YouTube.
Rap reviews.
Rap reviews.
Yeah.
Hundreds of views. Yeah. Hundreds, not thousands.
On really objectively good stuff.
Amazingly good stuff.
It's hard to get noticed. Search is, like, discoverability right now is broken because you've got, 100 different services, 100 different boxes. I think that's going to come together. It's going to move in a direction where it's the Google of finding shows, not so much like picking a service or a box and going with it. But I think to your point, like, yes, it's hard to get noticed, but Hell on Wheels followed... Mad Men or whatever, and like, who watches Hell on Wheels? I mean, it's canceled, right? As far as I know. Yeah.
But this is something that we've talked about before, because what we're seeing is the death of channels as we know them and the rise of content curators, essentially, VJs.
The best channels are. I mean, HBO has a clear voice.
Twitter is a channel, isn't it? The Verge is a channel.
That's right.
You go to these networks.
Leo, you're right. And that's the difference. You just said it. Twit is a channel. The Verge is a channel. YouTube is not a channel as much as it allows channels to exist.
It's the box. Yeah.
Right. It's the box. So the thing about it is discoverability and getting noticed is always going to be hard when it comes to entertainment or something you want people to, you want people to love the stuff you make. It's hard. It's becoming less hard for more people.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's hard in general, you know?
And just, I think the people.
We can agree on that.
The
yes?
people. I don't want to agree with him. The people coming in. No, but I would say when we sell it as like, yay, everybody has a shot and everybody make a show and everybody this and that, and then they get hit with the hard reality.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. I like no, but I that's like a, arguing that point that you're not quite making to make to me look really slightly
that's
smarter.
That's very germane, though. You're absolutely right. There is a kind of a lie being told that you can make it. Anybody can make it.
It's in the interest of YouTube.
That's the American lie.
Right, it's not.
Is the American lie.
Yeah, that we all have
anybody
a shot.
Can
we
be
don't.
A billionaire. That's not true.
Okay, well, now we're back to the depressing. Thank you.
We got to go to war.
We can go to war
now. You know where this is discussed best and most often is a great show that you do, Brian, with Tom Merritt called Frame Rate.
Yeah, buddy.
A show for cord cutters. Highly recommend it. In fact, let's check in with Tom Merritt because he's going to tell us what's ahead. He's not here. Yes, he is. He's going to tell us what's ahead this week on
TNT.
Take
it away, Tom.
Hey, Leo, here's some of the things happening in the week ahead that we'll be keeping an eye on for Tech News Today. I hope you're having a happy 20th anniversary of the term spam being applied to a Usenet post. That's today, Sunday, March 31st. April Fool's Day, April 1st, of course, tomorrow. And VentureBeat's mobile two-day summit begins in Sausalito. Not a joke. Tuesday, April 2nd, Twitter is having their developers event that the press are not welcome at. Wednesday, April 3rd is the birthday of the Osborne One.
We have one.
Thursday, April 4th is is the anniversary of Bill Gates and Paul Allen forming their partnership. Also, Larry Page became CEO of Google on that day in 2011.
Bill Gates is dreaming.
And Facebook is having their Come See Our New Home on Android.
We didn't even talk about that yet.
That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
I can't believe it. The biggest story of the week.
Oh, my God.
We missed it.
What was the story?
Facebook's having an announcement to announce. Well, okay. We're going to make this quick. We're going to make this easy. Lightning round. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Joshua Topolsky, is Facebook going to announce a phone or just an Android app?
Probably some kind of phone, I think.
An actual hardware phone. You know, because you have one.
I'm doing this over the Facebook phone right now.
I knew it.
That's what the camera is.
It's an
I don't know. I think there's going to be some kind of partnership.
Is it crazy I think this is the ultimate in hubris, where you think we got 1 billion users. We're the biggest thing on the internet. Let's create a phone. It's stupid. It's wrong. And it's the beginning of the end for Facebook. What do you think?
Amazon did it, and they made a tablet. They're like,
a reading platform for their content.
I think they should do it just to mess with people like you. It's like when seeing you incensed provides me with a level of joy and happiness I haven't known in weeks.
Justin Robert Young, what do you think? Facebook phone, up or down?
I think it's going to be a new phone, but not necessarily a Facebook exclusive phone. It's basically just going to be a skin on top of it that's going to launch into Facebook applications. And they need to do it because the dominant form of social communication around the world with younger people is phone-to-phone contact, in-line chat communication that is phone-based. And that is the generation that Facebook will lose if they do not get into this.
Well, and Facebook is very aware of this. They're very afraid of losing it. That's why they spent $1 billion on Instagram, which was about to take over from Facebook.
I do not think a phone will help them in that department, personally.
Agree.
I mean, they may make a phone, but I don't think that people are going to want to buy it.
I think people use Facebook because they have to. Everybody hates
they
Facebook,
need more emoticon
but they have to
apps.
Use it. Clearly. What do you think, Brian Brushwood? You have the final word. Facebook phone?
I'm not familiar with this Facebook, but I look forward to seeing their work. They sound like they got a lot of potential.
Wow.
Well done, Brian.
Wow.
Well done.
Yeah,
playing
I agree.
The fool
that was
perfectly.
Brian Brushwood is on NSFW Scam School. And what else do you do, Brian? You're just a magician.
Too many things. Check out Frame Rate. If you like me smart, then see me on Mondays doing Frame Rate. If you like me dumb, watch me on Tuesdays with Justin Robert Young. That's all you need to
the
know.
The king of dumb. JRY. In fact, a special edition of NSFW coming up right after this show. Joshua Topolsky is editor-in-chief of The Verge at TheVerge.com, where they do simply the best coverage of technology out there. I read it every single day and highly recommend you do the same. And, of course, if you would just get out of that video podcast thing, I'd be much happier about everything you're up to, Joshua.
We're expanding it.
Damn you. Damn your eyes.
Competition.
I hate him too now, Barrett. You were right.
No, I don't hate him. I like this guy a lot. We're going to hang out. I already made a public vow.
We're hanging out in New York. We're going to go to somewhere in Brooklyn.
No, yes. No,
it'd be
actually
really cool.
Great
with
stuff.
Our big
90 seconds with The Verge
together.
Is awesome.
Yes,
yeah. Great you. Stuff being done. And of course, you can catch Joshua frequently as a frequent contributor with Mr. Jimmy Fallon.
Yes,
that's great fun.
Show. I'll be back in April.
Soon to be on the Tonight Show. With Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, you're gonna now you're gonna move upstairs with him, right?
I hope so. If he'll have me,
then you're on the big show.
I'll make
that's
sure
it.
That happens.
Now
I'll
you've made
calls.
It.
I'll make some calls.
Please do.
You're the next Stan Can.
I don't know what that is.
I know, because you're a young guy and you don't remember the old stuff.
That's why how can I remember something I didn't experience?
Wrong
Leo.
With kids today. They have no memory for stuff they never experienced.
Sweet man calling me a kid. It's so
wonderful. That's because I'm old.
Made my day.
Go to Comedy Hack Day. It's going to be at Twitter April 6th and 7th. Find out more, comedyhackday.org. And, of course,
yes,
cultivatedwit.com. That's where Baratunde Thurston lives.
That's my new home.
With his scarf. You must buy How to Be Black. By the way, on the back, picture of Baratunde with a scarf.
Bam.
It's your look.
It's kind of my thing.
It's your thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me back. Brian, you know I love doing the show, especially with you, because we have charm. Joshua, you're added to that list of people I super love doing the show.
I'm telling you.
Seriously,
this is
great. And I had a blast with this.
And I don't want the other. I don't want those other guys to hear it, but this is the best Twit panel we've ever had.
You said it on the internet. You know that, right?
I know.
Okay.
But they'll never know.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone that my scarf is definitely pajama bottom.
Nice. And thanks to the chat room, especially.
Brian Brushwood, I salute you.
I salute you and your green cup of destiny, sir. All the cool kids rocking the green cups.
Thanks for joining. Game of Thrones is next. Stay tuned. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can. Bum 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 b